This morning, as we spend time together in God's Word, I encourage you to once again keep your worship bulletin handy. And if you would, go ahead and turn to the back inside portion. There you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes. I trust that God will give something to you, to me today, that He wants us to take out with us and apply it to our daily lives, those places that God sends His people, the church, throughout the week. So if you're in need of something to write with this morning, I encourage you to raise your hand, and one of our ushers will be glad to get something to you free of charge. If they charge you, let me know, okay? All right. So several years ago, I had the opportunity to be part of a series of roundtable discussions that were taking place in the district of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that my wife Kara and I came from, the Mid-Atlantic area that included the D.C. area, Baltimore, the Carolinas, Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, and so on. As these conversations and roundtable think tanks were taking place, this was a question that oftentimes came out in some way, shape, or form, and sometimes just this bold statement. We would like a fresh start. Gathered around the table were a number of church leaders, pastors, deaconesses, directors of Christian education, and so on, along with laity. In a number of ways, as the conversation continued to take place in these various places and locations and tables, this is what was so oftentimes spilling out of the mouths of people like us. We would like a fresh start. Let me hit the pause button there for a second, and let me ask you, have those words ever spilled out of your mouth? I'd like a fresh start. So I think sometimes God's people come to a place in life where maybe this is our experience. I'd like a fresh start. I'd like a fresh start in my employment. I'd like a fresh start with my schooling. I'd like a fresh start with friendships, relationships. I'd like a fresh start with my spouse. I'd like a fresh start with my kids. I'd like a fresh start with my parents. I'd like a fresh start in my new community. And in this case, I'd like a fresh start for my church. The overall discussion was something that I felt blessed to have been a part of, which was just this. The concerted effort of the 200-plus congregations in the Mid-Atlantic area focused on connecting people with Jesus Christ. It sounds so basic, but maybe as you've discovered in life, sometimes it is really hard to do. Even after God has given you that nudge or maybe that kick in your trousers to go out, maybe sometimes we find ourselves still dragging our feet. A number of congregations had landed in this particular area, and here's what was going on. And maybe you've had this experience too. Churches were beginning to close their doors. For the first time in decades, and sometimes much, much longer, churches were beginning to close their doors. And then from these places, the laity and the leadership and the pastors and so on begin to gather and say, well, what's going on here? What do we need to do different? This can't happen to us. And some said, this will never happen to us. But all the while, the congregation continued to decline. So the call went out to have a large group discussion in the district about what does it look like to connect people with Jesus Christ and to become those missional outposts God had called them to be the whole time. And as that conversation continued to morph and take on life with its resources and activities, this is what I so oftentimes heard from these table discussions. We would like a fresh start. So iNeighborhood took place. And the thrust of iNeighborhood was just this. Let me share this with you. This comes from their website. And I'd encourage you to check this out. Because God still calls His people to go out and to connect people with Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit in the Word. But this is what they noted. We are living in an age where many have never had contact with a church, let alone set foot within a church building. That holds true, by the way, of Fort Wayne. I realize that we boast that we are a church community. We have a lot of buildings. God has strategically placed His missionaries throughout the southeastern district to reach one neighbor at a time with the gospel message where we live, work, and play. It is our desire to create disciple-making communities. We do this through reaching people, teaching them to love and serve Jesus, and sending them to reach, to teach, and to send others. Once again, I'd like to pull your attention to the screen just for a hot second to see what's been bolded for you and underlined. Because sometimes I think we miss this, even as a church here today in the Midwest, Fort Wayne, Indiana. And I don't know if you knew this, but this is going on in our own communities. We are living in an age where many have never had contact with a church, let alone set foot within a church building. Did you know that? Maybe that makes you think of someone that you work with. Maybe that's someone that you go to school with. Maybe that's someone in your own family. God positions his churches in such a place and in such a time to connect people with Jesus Christ. And yet sometimes, churches lose sight of that. And churches start to dry up and disappear. And I've heard from a number of pastors and church leaders and folks like us over the years who have said, we would like a fresh start. I wonder if there's a place in your life today where that question or that statement resonates with you. I'd like a fresh start. As we left these roundtable discussions, the question that kind of kept bouncing around in my head, kind of like a hamster on a wheel, is, well, who wouldn't want a fresh start? I mean, after all, God continues to send his people, the priesthood of all believers, men, women, and children, baptized men, women, and children, to go out into places of work and neighborhoods and homes and schools. God has positioned congregations to do life-changing, kingdom-advancing work. So who wouldn't want a fresh start? Sadly enough, a number of congregations over the years say just this: we don't. In our first reading today from our first scripture lesson, Joshua chapter 24, we see God doing this for his people, giving them a fresh start. And if you know part of the story and you know part of the narrative, then you know that God has been marching his people from bondage and slavery in Egypt to the promised land, the land of Canaan, or as I like to call it, Mission Central. Because what God is doing here now is setting his people in this area called Shechem, right in the heart of the promised land. And as God does that, God puts them specifically among groups of people that don't know the Lord, that are caught up in all kinds of stuff, the wrong things, the wrong idols, the wrong worship, and so on. And it's from this place that God desires that others would know him through the people he plants there. Does that sound familiar? And it's this place that he gives a fresh start. Truth be told, it's in places like this that God continues to give a fresh start. For example, in the book of Genesis chapter 12, we see that God had done this for a guy by the name of Abram. Let me share this for you. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. This morning, as we're talking about this and unpacking this a little bit, I'd like for you to look and to listen in for what God is doing in this place called Shechem. And I'd like for you to take a step back and ask the question, what is God doing through your life today? What is God desiring to do through your life? And what is God desiring to do through his church? See, what we hear is just this, that in Shechem, faith focuses forward. don't know if you caught this, but Abraham said, I'll go. What I didn't hear him say was, well, Lord, how many miles is it? How long is it going to take? Am I going to have to pull over into Costco and stock up on Twizzlers and granola bars? You know how the kids are. I mean, come on. I think that's how I would respond. What about you? Detail people out there, anybody? Details? Yeah. But what does Abraham do in his 70-plus years of life? He just says this, I'll go. See, this is what this place begins to come known as. It's a place of faith, where faith focuses forward. If Abraham wanted to go back, he could have. But instead, he was focusing forward. And who is he focusing forward on? The Lord. The same one who's calling his church to focus forward in faith today. Shechem is this place known for faith focusing forward. Hang on to that. Jacob. If you follow the family tree, you come to a guy by the name of Jacob, and you see that he's got some baggage. And he has something what I like to call faith and family dysfunction. Are you familiar with such? Don't raise your hand. God comes to Jacob after all his baggage and all his faith and family dysfunction, and he brings him to this moment. And I'd like for you to look and listen in to see if we recognize something or some place we've already heard. Genesis chapter 35, verses 1 to 5, we read this. Then God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel and settle there, and build an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, get rid of the foreign gods you have with you, and purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and who has been with me wherever I have gone. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak of, or at, Shechem. Then they set out, and the terror of God fell on all the towns around them, so that no one pursued them. See, Shechem becomes this place where idols are thrown down. It's this place where God's people are called to faithfulness, and those things you've been carrying around, that you've been living for, that you've been striving for, you put them aside. Martin Luther, in his study of the Ten Commandments, particularly the first one, which says, don't have any other gods, says this, a god, a lowercase g, a god or an idol, is that something, is that thing or that person that you run to and you trust and you love and you give your time, talents, and treasures to more than the one true God? And I realize that sometimes maybe as God's people today, we have disconnect from that because maybe we don't go home and we have a gold statue that we pray to or light candles to or make sacrifice to. But I'm wondering if there's something in your life that gets priority over God. I'm wondering if there's something that you look to and you strive for and you hug tighter than the feet of Jesus Christ for you. Thinking back to these roundtable discussions, there are a number of idols that came out on the table. These roundtable discussions that were focused on connecting people to Jesus Christ. Do you know what one of those idols was? The past. See, these congregations had come to a point of just keeping on, and just trying to do. All the while, the community around them was growing more and more disconnected to Jesus Christ. But the church kept saying, we're just going to stay right here in this building. We're going to keep watching the clock, and they're bound to wise up and walk through the doors. The past had become an idol. Sometimes the church talks about the glory days, but here's the thing. People that don't know Christ don't know about the glory days. And so when churches try to force feed the glory days, the community outside says, I want nothing of it, and I don't want your Jesus. Do you relate? See, Shechem is this place where God brings his people in his grace, And he brings them to this place where they have the opportunity to focus forward in faith and to cast aside their idols. Is there that place for you today? Joshua. Verses 1 to 2, we hear this. And this is kind of a rally cry. And if you've ever been a part of one of these, maybe you've been to a recent high school football game or some kind of pep rally, you know what it's like to be part of a rally, don't you? Put yourself in the rally for a moment and hear our brother Joshua speak. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at where? Shechem. See how that place keeps coming back? It's like God wants something significant to happen from this place in this community. He summoned the elders, the leaders, the judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I saved you." I know we didn't take a look at that this morning in our first reading, but if you were to track along, this is exactly God's message to his people. I saved you. When you were stuck in Egypt and you were crying out and you said, "I've had enough, I want a fresh start," I saved you. When you were stuck in that wilderness and you were going and going and going and you're like, "Man, where's the air conditioner? And I'm hungry. I gave you food you didn't know about. I gave you manna, I gave you quail, and I did this for you. I saved you." And when you came up against stuff that gave you spiritual heartburn, when you came across the Perizzites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the mosquito bites, I saved you. Somebody's listening. Time and time again, every fork in the road, every twist and turn and highway and byway, this is what our God does. He says this, "I saved you." And I hope and I pray that that's a message that somebody has shared with you because they loved you enough to tell you the truth about our God, about Jesus Christ, who has done this for you and for me through the cross and through the empty tomb. He says this today, "I saved you." Every twist and every turn, every battle, every mountaintop, every valley bottom, when it got hot, when it got cold, when you cried out from the depths of your soul, "I want a fresh start," I saved you. Joshua comes to this point in his pep rally, verses 14 to 15. He says this, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness." This is faith speaking to faith. This is a group of people who have experienced firsthand the work of God, his grace, his mercy, his unconditional love, his salvation. It's faith crying to faith. He says, "Throw away the gods of your ancestors, they worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you were living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." See, this is what Shechem is also known as. It's the place where a fresh start takes place. And if you're keeping score at home and if you're tracking along, and I hope you are with your notes or at least here, Shechem is this place where faith focuses forward. It's this place where idols are thrown aside, and it's this place where a fresh start happens for God's people. And I wonder if there's a part of your life today that resonates with something on the screen up front. Or maybe because of things going on in your life, there is so much pressure and temptation to look back. Because of things happening at work or at school or at home or in your relationships, you're tempted to hang on to those idols because you believe they will save you. Or maybe there's something going on in your life that challenges that gospel grace that God seeks to give you today that says, "I have a fresh start for you today." And it starts with Jesus. Where does this message find you today? See, I wonder if you've come to know this place. A place like Shechem, where faith focuses forward. I wonder if you've come to know this place where idols are cast aside. I wonder if you've come to know this place that is characterized by fresh starts in Jesus Christ. I hope you've come to know this place as Praise Lutheran Church, as one such place. Because here at Praise Lutheran Church, and I know we have a number of guests and visitors here today, so let me share this with you. Praise Lutheran Church is just this place. It's this modern-day Shechem where God plants his people for kingdom work, making disciples in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's this place where God sends his children, his sons and daughters, you and me, out to focus forward in faith. Praise is this place where we cast aside our idols so we can follow where Christ is leading today. Not 10 years ago, not 20 years ago, not 2 weeks ago, but today. Praise is this place known as a fresh start. And I don't know if some of us here today are searching for a fresh start, but God has it for you here today. And today we are blessed to celebrate the Lord's Supper, where God gives you and me a fresh start in the name of Jesus Christ, free of charge. Amen? Praise is this place. The iNeighborhood discussions. One of the things that also came out during our roundtable discussions was just this. That kingdom work was being jeopardized. The Great Commission was being jeopardized. Making disciples, baptizing, teaching, reaching was being jeopardized. Why? Because of this. The opposite was happening. And maybe you've had this experience in other congregations, where instead of faith focusing forward with Jesus Christ, it was focused backward on the glory days, where idols were retained. Instead of subscribing and following God in faith, there were other things that were being latched on to. Maybe pastors from years ago, maybe church workers from years ago, maybe certain people, maybe money. And fresh starts just didn't occur. Because of certain dysfunctional behaviors, such as lack of forgiveness, retention of grace, which God gives freely, retention of things like unconditional love and mercy and gospel witness. I hope it would go without saying among God's people, but I'm going to say it anyway. When a congregation, when those called to share the gospel message fall into a place like this, it breaks God's heart. May this never be said of Praise Lutheran Church, that we focused backwards, that we held on to idols, and that we retained the fresh start. May the opposite be true. May you focus forward in faith. May you and I cast aside all idols, and may we believe in the fresh start that Jesus Christ gives to you. Let's pray. Father, today we pray that you would continue through your Holy Spirit and your word, because there's no other way. We pray that through your Holy Spirit and your word and this thing called grace, you would continue to make Praise Lutheran Church and all churches, those called by your name, to be places and communities and gatherings of people that go out with a heart set on focusing forward in faith. Hearts that seek to throw aside idols and the things that slow us down or keep us anchored to a past that will never, ever come back, and that you're not calling us to go back to. And we pray that through your Holy Spirit, we would continue to live in and believe in the fresh start that is ours through Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray today that as you send us out, show us how to apply this to those places where you are calling us to connect others to Jesus Christ. Through whose name we pray. Amen.